welcome visitors from other planets, as Mark likes to say, because all of us are visitors from other planets, not having really originated here to begin with. Being a very unique time for us in that we are reading the proofs of the book that will tell the entire story from the Mark Age point of view, Visitors from Other Planets, if I would begin by telling you how it happened to me. Because I'm reliving 15 years by reading the proofs. And my goodness, it sure goes fast when it's on a printed page and just one or two pages, you skip a couple of years. You can't quite do that yet in life on this planet, skip a couple of years by just turning a page in a book. But it began with me by being awakened to my spiritual nature, by searching for higher spiritual truths, and not necessarily wondering why the UFOs are here. So I wasn't any more prepared for it than you, and I take you now back to 1958. I'm looking for spiritual identity. My spiritual talents are beginning to surface, and I'm beginning to understand them a little better through spiritual guidance from within and, fortunately enough, through guides and guardians on the other side of the veil who wish to train me. So although I had read some books about UFOs, I had not seen any. I had attended a lot of lectures, sat out there more often than I stood on the lectern, and wondered somewhat about the relationship of this type of phenomena on the earth and what I was going through personally. I was having visions, precognition, clairaudience, and many astral flights. The first experience that I can remember very vividly, aside from automatic writing where my spiritual guides had told me that the space program was important to the overall training that I was doing, was the feeling of a beam, electromagnetic beam, on my head. This is like a clamp, a football helmet or a skull cap clamping down on the top of the head, and it's very physical in nature. There's no imagination really involved. As a matter of fact, you feel like you want to pull it off. It was then that they were able to relay to me from physical craft certain thoughts that I was to be a channel for interplanetary visitors. And that was my first experience. The next experiences where they wanted to demonstrate the power and the strength of this type of beam, which is a physical beam, even though we cannot see it physically, was the manipulation of my body. And that, to me, I think was more interesting than the other because I'm not particularly athletic, nor do I have much, fluidity with my body. I'm not very agile. I'm not able to move the way a dancer moves, let's say. I don't have that kind of facility with my physical body. And yet I would be put into such contortions and put into such movements or positions that actually nobody could be put in that position and stay unless they were trained, a yoga student of quite adept nature or a dancer of great aptitude. I knew that as it was happening to me, that this was beyond any physical ability for someone to do for the first time. I'd been one of those who got D in gym when I was in high school, so you know the type of background I mean. Along this same line, I have no aptitude for singing. I'm tone deaf and can't carry a tune. And I'm not bragging because all my life I had wished that I had more musical aptitude. So the third thing they demonstrated through me was the control over the vocal cords. And this, of course, again, is done through the brain apparatus because the brain, of course, controls every single part of our bodies. And so there's no mystery to this once you understand that particular aspect of it. So the real control comes through the brain. But by using this beam, they could either speak through me in tones. Well, when you hear some of the recordings, as we will release them later on, they obviously are not a woman's voice in some cases. And then when the singing began, they were obviously not of anyone who wasn't trained, as not only I was not trained, I have no aptitude. Now, I'm not putting myself down in all these aspects. I'm just trying to demonstrate to you, as they demonstrated through me, the extent of the power, the control, and the beauty of the contact. Because I purposely accepted in this lifetime, before being born, these limitations, so that the proof could come to me first. One of the things my teachers always told me was that if we can prove it to you, then we can prove it to anybody on earth. And that was very true, because I had started off being a rank skeptic. I had started off not believing in any of the psychic phenomena, or not wanting to believe in any of these spiritual matters particularly. I felt that I was quite satisfied with my material approach, my analytical approach, my philosophical approach, as I developed in my early youth. So I was not particularly looking for these type of answers. They came to me, and being able to convince me was the first step in allowing me then to express to others later on the strength of my conviction. And most people tell me that as a result of that, because I do have a strong conviction, it allows them to work with their own doubts, their own feelings of frustration, lack of acceptance, which is part of mortal consciousness, which is part of the mass race consciousness. So a long time ago, in the beginning of my development, it was explained to me that I had accepted this responsibility. I would come into this incarnation, I would develop along certain intellectual lines, analytical lines, skeptical lines of anything of this type of spiritual or psychic nature, so that I could experience step by step within myself what it really takes to transmute all of this, because everyone on earth is eventually going to have to transmute it and become as convinced within himself of the reality of the unseen as he is convinced of the seen, that which he can touch and feel and taste. That's very easy to do, but it's very, very difficult to accept and to work with the unseen. Many, many people ask me, how can you be so sure? How do you know? How are you so sure that what you're experiencing is not what you make up or what comes to your imagination is really happening to you? This is a very valid question. I'm never offended by this. It's the most important question. It's the one the channel has to work with constantly, and there is no let up. I have been told through my channelings that not until you come into full Christ consciousness, as Jesus demonstrated in the last 3 years of his ministry, can a channel ever release that aspect of testing and trying the spirits and verifying that which comes through. Now, I have been working with this type of phenomena, if you want to call it phenomena, for 15 years full time, 24 hours a day. I take notes or record on typewriter or tape every single spiritual experience or message that comes through me. I test, I try, I verify every single experience, be it a dream or a message or an impression. I will go back a year, 2 years, 10 years later, and I will still be checking. Did this come to pass? Was that a valid, true spiritual experience? Or did that come from some other area of my being, my subconscious, my past, something that somebody else projected to me? So there is no end to the testing, the trying, the verifying, the discerning. And I hope that that is extremely well established in each person's heart and mind as they begin this type of search. And no matter how long you've been in it, to still be testing and trying the information that you work with. I mean this also for the literature you read of others, or mine, if it's a book I've written, or a piece of channeling that we have, Mark Age, have published and you are accepting. Try it. Test it. Does it work? Is it valid? Does it follow cosmic law? Can it be verified within you or through another channel? And so all this type of work was being done on me all the time. One of the great verifications that came in these early days, and we're just reviewing it now again in the galleys, I guess it was about 1962 when a lot of my public work began with groups. We had a group about this size in Miami, in Fort Lauderdale, in West Palm Beach, and they told me in those days that they would demonstrate these beams through me, using me as the channel, so that everyone in the audience could have proof that such a electromagnetic beam was being used. It was fine for me to say, I felt it, and it feels like a cap on my head, or I have a band here. And incidentally, sometimes those bands or caps would get so tight that I would have to mentally say, that's too much. And we had this mental rapport going back and forth in which I could tell them, you can tighten it, you must loosen it, and so forth, because there were times when they said that I was being used experimentally, like a guinea pig, to see what they could do with other people on the planet. I had volunteered for this also, and so they were using me for this purpose. But in these meetings, in those years back in 62, they would use the beam on me or on others in the group, and you may experience it tonight. And those who hear this tape later, that experience has also happened, where there is a delayed monitoring action for those who hear these contacts later on. And in those experiences, different ones, sometimes three-quarters or the entire group, would relay the physical experience or knowledge of such beam activity as I would describe it. Sometimes, if they did not wish to use the beam, they would use some other force that would make the people feel flashes of heat or chills. Now, the difference, we asked at that time, why would someone, two people sitting together, for instance, both receiving the same beam, one feel hot and one feel cold? We were told early that it depended on the chemistry of the individual person, and the reaction was an individual reaction, as everything in spiritual growth is individual. No two are ever alike. No two grow the same way. No two receive even the same kind of message simultaneously, even though the content may be similar or supplementing, complementing, so that it verifies one or the other. But the other marvelous and happy part of this type of beam experiments was the healing through the beam. And doesn't everyone need healing in one way or another? And a great deal of attention will be given to our own healing haven, or the health department of the University of Life. So healing is a great part of the Mark Age program, and in this way, they demonstrated to us how they, in the craft, physical beings, could assist us in the great healing aspects that all men on earth must come to experience. Because as we have learned, healing is of the body, the mind, and the soul. These three levels have to be brought into balance and alignment in order for us to have true and full spiritual enlightenment. And we have been told that there isn't anyone on earth who does not need a healing in one of those three aspects. Some need it in all three aspects. This, in the development, as I say, reading the galleys and sharing this step-by-step progression with you and seeing my own unfoldment in the book Visitors from Other Planets, which, by the way, is written in the first person, as I experienced each episode, we have shared it with you in chronological order so that you also grow and expand with it. And Mark will share most of the time with you telling you what the message was. But I thought you'd want to see how we got the message and what the training was from my part of it in bringing forth the message. Because it is, again, an important and valid point to be sure that the channel through whom you accept the material is balanced, understands, and works in full dedication with whatever it is that you are working with in accepting of some new concept. The beautiful part of these concepts, to our experience through the many, many years we've worked with people, is that people come to us and say, it fits. It seems so right. It answers my quest myself. It puts the pieces together for me. And that is how verifications are made and solidified. So in sharing with you how I had grown myself and gone through these tests and trials and experiences, then perhaps when Mark shares the message that our brothers and sisters in the UFOs are giving through me in this particular manner which I have described, then you can discern for your individual self, does that fit my need, my quest? Does that seem right to me? Because there is no spiritual fact that anyone can hand to anybody else. It has to be answered from within, each person individually. That's the work we all have to do, and no one can do that work for us. We can show the way, we can give some guidelines, we can have universities and beautiful big campuses and say, come here and learn. But the real learning is done within. The real answers are in your own consciousness. So, visitors from other planets, welcome. And our sisters and brothers whom we knew in other lives, who are trying to contact us and renew acquaintances with us in these various methods which I have described to you. Oh, I mustn't leave out one of the most interesting one of the ways they taught me and which is shared in the book, and that is astral flight. I think the most thrilling experience for each of us is actually experiencing it, seeing it, but we don't see it with physical eyes. I wish I had that experience. I have not had that physical sighting that I can be absolutely sure of. In other words, that I can say the ship was such and such a size, it was such and such a color, and it had so many portholes. Physically speaking, I have seen them astrally that way. But one of my most fortunate methods of learning was astral flight, going through the experience of transferring consciousness to the astral body, which is the body you move and live in sleep state or in deep meditative state. It is the body you pass into immediately upon the transition we call death. When you leave the mortal body, you go into the astral body. The higher body above the astral is the etheric body. Some schools of thought use different terminology, but we're not going to get into semantics here. The terminology they use through me is physical, astral, and then etheric. Etheric being your spiritual consciousness, your I am or your Christ body. So you travel first in the astral to become accustomed to the higher frequencies, but your eternal spirit, your God self, is the etheric body. I have traveled in both, And many times I have gone to other ships that have been in an astral vibration, not in a physical vibration, visited, walked on the ship, sat and watched the controls, participated in the movements, conversed and questioned, and come back into full consciousness, being able to recall the exact experience and then recording it either on tape or on the typewriter. Incidentally, I never lose physical consciousness. I don't go into a trance. My training is such that I must remain physically aware at all times while I have any of the other demonstrations. So, visitors, I've been up there. They're real. They're here with love, and they're here with a great deal of information for a most critical period in our evolution on Earth. It's important to every single human being on the planet, and will be for the next 20, 30, 40 years, not only to every human form, but to every living particle of matter on the planet, mineral, vegetable, animal, and human. So what Mark will share with you as to the reasons why the UFOs are here, our sisters and brothers from other planets, is extremely important to every single person. God bless you.